Father, we just thank you. I pray that you would breathe life this morning on us. I pray that you would bring encouragement, Lord God, to every single person, whether they're here live or they're watching on the simulcast, the live cast. That God, that they would hear your voice, that their belief system would be transformed, and that, Lord, there would be a greater boldness, a greater faith to live out their belief system in you. And we declare this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to open up to two passages of Scripture, two passages. First one's Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, put a marker there. We'll get to that very quickly. And then James, oops, I think I reversed myself. Go to James chapter 1, put a marker there. I apologize. James chapter 1, put a marker. Mark chapter 9, keep it open. So James 1, marker. Mark chapter 9, keep it open, and we'll get to that very quickly. This is the second week of a series called Created to Be. Let me hear you say Created to Be. And what we wanted to, we really felt like the Lord was saying here is when you come into a local body, Jesus says, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go make Christians. Like when you look through the Bible, the first time they were called Christians was within in the book of Corinthians. It gives a reference to it. But it was talking about make disciples, ones who follow after Jesus, who look like Jesus, who are transformed into his image, and their life reflects that image. And so when we look at this idea of like, how are we at Legacy Church making disciples? If you think about this idea of making, it's about forming. There's this formation that spiritually you might be created in the image of God, that you when you were born again, you became a brand new creation. But there's something about the way that you think, the way that you believe, the way that you feel, coming into alignment with, being formed spiritually, formation formed into what God has created you for. And it's a process called discipleship. And so when we look at understanding, when we say it, talking about the transformation of lives and the transformation of cities, what does that actually mean? The first week, a couple weeks ago, I talked about this idea of build. Let me hear you say build. That we're here to build God's kingdom. And we talked about the different ways, and I encourage you, if you didn't hear that message, go back and re-listen to it. But one of the things we will do when we go down on the 9th, on the Saturday, is we're building God's kingdom because we're bringing God's goodness into a way that allows somebody to experience his goodness, to be able to repent, to be blessed, to come to know him in a deeper way. We're building his kingdom. We're cleaning out the kingdom of darkness, the effects of the kingdom of darkness. We're cleaning up from that. Just as much as we might be cleaning up from the storm debris, we're also coming in, and as we bring God's kingdom, we're wiping away the stain of sin. We're wiping away the stain from the kingdom of darkness, and what we're doing is we're bringing God's light that makes it brand new. Like literally creation itself is impacted by the sons and daughters of God stepping into who God's called them to be. Creation is cleaned up. And creation's yearning for us to step into it, so we're called to build. Today, I want to talk to you this idea about believe. Let me hear you say believe. Beliefs are connected to your faith. Let me hear you say beliefs are connected to my faith. But one of the most important things I want you to pick up on from this is that it's not just believe. It's believe like Jesus. It's believe like Jesus. And so many times people say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's great. So do the demons. Is that a true statement? I mean, that's a bit, James talks about it. The demons believe in Jesus and they tremble. Why? They don't believe like him. And because they don't believe like them, they actually are under judgment and condemnation. Because they threw their hat in with Lucifer, Satan, when they rebelled against him. They don't believe like, so it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. There's plenty of people on planet Earth who believe in Jesus. They believe he existed. They believe he walked around, but they don't believe like him, because out of your belief systems is going to determine how you live. When you become born again, your residency in heaven, your eternity is set, where you will spend eternity with him. But while you're here on the earth, the way you believe is going to determine how you live and the effectiveness that you're going to have in your life in the course of becoming a Christian. But how's your marriage going to be effective? How is your parenting going to be effective? When you go to work, how are you going to be effective in a job situation? When you go to the grocery store and there's social things that are taking place, how are you going to be effective in that? How you believe determines how you're going to live in this world. And if you don't believe that, just read Scripture. The number of times that the word believe or unbelief takes place in the New Testament alone is amazing. It pops up just in one passage I'm going to read you in a second, a few verses, it pops up six different times. Because this concept or this idea of believing like Jesus. And what do I mean by that? Everything that Jesus did flowed out of his belief system. Did Jesus know and believe that he was the Messiah? Right? Did he know and believe that he was the Son of God? Did he know and believe that he had been with the Father from the beginning of creation? Yeah, he knew. So everything he did flowed out of his belief system. He brought the belief system of heaven and brought it into the earth. So when we pray about heaven into earth, it's not just about this kind of ethereal, supernatural transformation that we're looking for. There's a tangible transformation that takes place when the belief system, the rule of heaven comes into the earth. It should transform you. But here's the thing about it. You've been given free will. That's why people who've been presented with the gospel and say, nope, I don't want to be born again. God honors their belief system. The only way you're going to believe like Jesus is if you become born again. You need a new mindset. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're a brand new creation. And so we have to look at this idea of, even as a born again believer, what I would challenge us with is sometimes we still hold belief systems that are inconsistent with heaven. They're inconsistent with heaven. And so we think about, well, God's just wanting to do this, and I'm waiting for the lightning bolt to hit me because I just dropped a curse word, and oh my gosh, he's gonna strike me down. Like that's a belief system that's inconsistent with the heart of heaven. Does that make sense? Right? You know, or we see a disaster like just took place, and it's, the junk has been out there. We're saying, well, this is God's judgment on Houston for having a gay mayor and having a large abortion clinic. Well, that's ridiculous, because how many cities in the world have sin? So if God's wanting to bring judgment, would he not wipe out the world like he did with Noah? And what did he say after Noah? Never again will I do it. And he gave them a covenant of the rainbow. See, Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to reconcile the world, to bring it back into alignment with heaven. Now, listen to me. That doesn't mean we get to act like idiots and do whatever we want to do outside of the character of God, and God's just going to be happy about it. No, he disciplines his kids. Discipline is real. And he'll use trials and tribulations to bring what's inside of you into alignment with what's inside of him. So when we talk about believing like Jesus, not just in Jesus, you've got to be ready to be transformed. This is one thing I can't do for you. As a pastor, I can stand up here and I can bring the word of God. I can tell you what the Bible says, but I can't live your life and I can't live your faith. You've got to make that decision. That's why it's hard, parents, isn't it, sometimes? Because we have these little people who have their own will. And we can want for them all day long to grow up and be world changers and stuff like that, but they still have to make a choice, right, for Jesus. And so what do? We are consistent in, we pray for them, we love them, we present the truth, but at the end of the day, we trust that Holy Spirit is pulling on the side of their hearts. So who are you responsible for? Do this. I've heard this happen already. People are pointing fingers. Well, this person didn't do this, and this person didn't do this, and this... Like, stop all this stuff and start going, but what's God doing inside of me? How is my belief system consistent with heaven? Because that's who I'm responsible for. That's what I'm responsible for. And I must come to that place. So it's not enough to believe in Jesus, but you must believe like Jesus. And your will can override what you say you believe. Your will can override what you say you believe. So if the belief system, here's what we talk a lot of times in freedom ministry. Thoughts reside where? In my brain. Where do beliefs reside? In my heart. There's a proverb that says, you know, guard your heart above all else, because out of it flows the issues of your life. There's another proverb that says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? So it really doesn't matter what you're saying, that's lip service, until what transforms inside of your heart is consistent with what's in his heart, there's still transformation work that has to happen. Dan Moeller talked about it. When you get squeezed by life, what should come out? Jesus. If I squeeze an orange, I should expect orange juice to come out when I squeeze it. So there's trials, there's tribulations that take place. And what the Lord wants to do is he wants to use those things in order to continue to get out the things that are inconsistent with his belief system. So that you're challenged with. I really do believe this. I believe the Lord is challenging the church. It says in Hebrews, we have an unshakable kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is unshakable. But the kingdoms of the world, they're fully shakable. And they're being shaken right now. And whether that be cities, I think it's more in the mindsets, the spiritual thoughts, the ways that we process things. Those things are being challenged. And what he's wanting to do is says, get rid of those things, bring into alignment what's consistent. So your will can say, yep, I believe that, I think that's true, but right now, I don't really believe it inside of my heart. Because here's the thing, the way you live is evident by what's in your heart. The way you live, I know this can't be brand new revelation, this is basic Christianity 101, okay? But it's important, that's why we're setting it as a foundation stone for us. Is the way you live is dependent upon what's inside of your heart, your belief system. So I can say all day long, I believe that Jesus still heals. But when I go to pray for somebody, that's when it's tested. Because at that moment, I have to say either he is or he isn't the healer. Either he wants to do it or he doesn't want to do it. I know he's used that numerous times inside of my life where I'm like, oh, that thing right there, I can pray for that. I've seen that healed. No problem. I have faith. I walk up and boom. But then the first time I had somebody who was blind that came to me for me to pray for them, I'm like, do I really believe in my heart that God can heal that? It wasn't even about them. It was the fact that something inside of me was rising up and the Lord saying, are you going to sacrifice your belief system for mine? Are you willing to totally be transformed? Sometimes here's what we do. We'll take a scriptures that talk about nail your passions and your evil desires to the cross with Christ because that's where they belong. So you don't operate out of those evil desires. That's a very true statement. But here's what we don't do sometimes. We don't take those thoughts that aren't evil desires, but they're doubt and nail them equally to the cross. Instead, we'll let doubt and fear reside inside of our hearts. And then what we do is we cover it up with spiritual language. God is good, amen, all the time. God is good, God's good, amen. Yeah, well, he's good. Yes, he's good, brother. I'll tell you what, I'm blessed and highly favored, amen. Does that tell you anything about my heart? No. All you're hearing is language. But when it comes down to it in that moment where I go, Lord, you are healer. I'm not. It's not dependent upon me. You called me to be a vessel. You called me to be a conduit. I believe in the name of Jesus that you heal people. And so now I release by faith. My belief system begins to release something. I begin to pray in faith. My mouth begins to confess things that the Lord is transforming. But if you don't take this junk off, and here's the thing. I want you to think about it from the context of this storm. There's all this storm damage. We were in my parents' living room, and they had, the carpet was underneath, and you had all this sheetrock that was on top of it. And as we're peeling off, I could not get to what was underneath until I took off what was on top. And as long as I allowed those things to stay on top, it became moldy and stinky and ineffective. I couldn't produce anything life-giving out of that. But until I remove that stuff, now what we can do, we can dry it out, you can spray the bleach water, you can go in there. Now what can be done? Now it can be constructed. What can be formed is something healthy and life-giving once again. And what the Lord's wanting to do inside of your lives is he's wanting to take these areas that you've closed off to him and he's saying, no more, I'm shaking you now. And maybe you did not in the physical realm have hurricane damage take place. And so you're like, oh, gosh, what's... But inside your heart, God wants to shake you and say, but do not allow old things to remain anymore, old belief systems. God will shake your heart to make sure all that junk falls down and it gets removed. Why? Because he wants to build his kingdom inside of you. He wants to build a belief system inside of you that's consistent with heaven. Because the way you live flows out of what you believe. And we talk about purity, sexual purity. Any type of purity and morality in terms of lying, stealing, cheating, any of those types of things. All those things flow out of what you believe. If you continue to have a belief pattern that you are, that God saved everybody else but not you, he can transform everybody else but not you, you're going to continue to have the storm damage that allows you to have a stinky heart. And he wants to remove those things, and you have to be willing to sacrifice it, which means this: Father, if I believe anything, if I think anything inside of my heart that is inconsistent with your kingdom, you can remove it now. Dying to yourself means taking those things and putting them on the cross because they're not consistent with your new creation and your new life in him. And until you do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to continue to struggle with the old things. Well, why am I dealing with these thoughts of pornography? Why am I dealing with this? It's time to sacrifice that junk onto the cross. It's time to get rid of it. You're wondering, well, gosh, you know, the storm came and what I dealt with was fear. Let's pick on an easy one here real quick. And don't raise your hand if you did this, okay? Did anybody drive around, what day was it? Thursday, Friday, and see 10,000 people jamming Buc-ee's and H-E-B and Valero all over the city and all over this region because they were afraid the gas was running out? Did anybody see that? If you did that, no judgment, okay? But what I'm saying is this: what was the root of that? Fear and anxiety. It was not based in reality one bit. We were not running out of fuel. The trucks just couldn't make their way in to make their deliveries. But once it got onto social media, what happens? It wasn't a spirit of faith. The belief systems were revealed in people. Panic was revealed as a belief system that God wants to deal with. Instead of saying, God, you're my provider, it's going to be okay. I was on a quarter tank of gas. I drove around. I'm like, I can't get gas. I'm just going home. I'm not worried about running out of gas. I got 2 feet. If I have to walk, I'll walk, okay? But I'm not going to get so bent out of shape that I'm worried about this thing. Because what happens, worry and anxiety consume you. And then how do you live your life? Underneath the weight of fear and anxiety. It's a belief system that's inconsistent with heaven. We need to get rid of it. We need to walk into these places when we're going to help clean up and not be so overwhelmed by disaster. I was talking to a very good friend who they minister in the Middle East, and they go into refugee camps when there's 200,000 to 300,000 refugees. He says, I can go in for one day, and then I need a two-day break because it's so overwhelming. And this is a man of great faith. So it's not that you're not going to be presented with need or overwhelming human need or disaster, things like that. When you do, you have to say, okay, so Lord, what are you revealing inside of my heart that's inconsistent with heaven? Because the way you live is going to be consistent with what you believe. And if what you believe is not consistent with heaven, you're going to live underneath a sin nature versus a saint nature. A faith nature. Faith and beliefs are tied together. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. What is faith? It's believing God is who he says he is. Remember, it talks about Abraham. Abraham what? God. Abraham believed. Let me hear you say, Abraham believed. And it was accredited to him as righteousness. His faith showed up in action. Whenever he says, hey, sacrifice your son Isaac, he's like, well, wait a minute. He didn't do this. Not that we read through scripture. Okay, so we're just going with what scripture says, and I'm not going to try to add to it. But we don't hear Abraham go, well, God, you said he's the promised son. You know, I already screwed up once trying to make my own way with Ishmael. You know, are you sure? Have you thought this plan all the way through, God? Abraham doesn't do that. He believes God, and he takes his son up onto the mountain, and it says, and Abraham believed he could raise the dead. So it says, even if Isaac dies, that's not the end. His belief in God was, God's going to fulfill his promise, even if it looks like it dies before me. Think about that. Abraham believed God would fulfill his promise, even if it appeared that his promise died before him. And of course, we know the rest of the story. He puts Isaac up there. He ties him down. He's getting ready to throw the oil on top of him. And he hears this. Stop. Turns around. Set your son free. Here's the ram. And with the rest of the story, God provided for it. But the point was this. Abraham did not doubt in his heart. He believed him. So the way he lived his life, he was willing to sacrifice what was most important to him for his belief that God has a higher plan than he can imagine. Now, you and I are no different. We're called the children of Abraham, actually, because Abraham is the father of what? Faith. Father of beliefs. So we can look to him and say, God, how did he believe you in such a way that brought transformation? Jesus, who is our prototype, he is. There's perfect theology when you see Jesus. How did Jesus live his daily life? Because we know he lived it underneath the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and then we know he lived it in obedience to his Father. His belief system always was consistent with where he came from. His belief system was always consistent where he came from. Now, if you're born again, say, I am. So I want you to get this. Your belief system must be consistent from where you came from. If you're born again, you did not come from the earth. You were born again from heaven, spiritually. So your belief system must be consistent where you came from. It's going to be challenged. It's going to be challenged. Let me read you some scriptures. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. It says, now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they what? Did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. I want you to hear this real quick. He appeared to them in another form. In other words, Jesus is going to show up in your life in the ways that you don't always expect and you might not always recognize, but do you have a belief system that's consistent with his character and his nature, regardless of how it manifests before you? Verse 13, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. This is the 12. This is the world changers who don't believe. Later, he appeared to the 11. I say the 12, the 11, because Judas was dead by this point. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes, let me hear you say believes. He who believes is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who think about it. That's not what it says, does it? These weren't thoughts. Think about a pink elephant. What image did you see in your head? But do you believe there's really a pink elephant? No. Beliefs reside in your heart, okay? These signs will follow those who believe in the heart, a belief system. In my name, they will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 5, let me read this. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is done by faith says this, do not say in your heart, so remember, where's the context taken? Belief systems are in the heart. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Let me hear you say, in my heart. And what's that word? The word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe. It's with your heart that you believe. It's with your heart that you believe. It's a heart issue. It's a belief system in your heart that you believe and you're justified according to your beliefs. How you live determines what you believe, which is in your heart. And it says, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. In other words, it begins with the belief systems in your heart, so now you can confess what you believe. And it's through the confession of faith, a confession of belief, that things are transformed. Your words are powerful. The Bible is very clear on this. The words are powerful. They have life and death in them, but they flow out of what? Out of your belief system. says, as the scriptures say, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Proverbs 23:7, I told it to you earlier. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Proverbs 4:23. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's a belief system that the Lord is wanting to set it up. Do we believe the kingdom is all around? Yes. But he wants to set up a belief system. He wants to set up a kingdom belief system inside of you where it can rule and reign and then move through you to bring transformation. But you must be willing to be renovated. Who in here likes living through a renovation? But guess what you do every day as a believer in Christ? You're living through a renovation. Because day by day, from glory to glory, you're being transformed into the image of God. So get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Stop placing your faith on how comfortable you are. Start placing your faith in your belief system on who he is, and then it will produce inside of you trust and boldness of faith that you're okay with whatever he's doing, but you're ready to release it whenever you come to a place that needs the kingdom of God. Open up your Bibles to James chapter 1. Trials will test what you really believe and how you will really live. Consider it pure joy, it says in verse 2. My brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let me hear you say it again. The testing of your faith, let me hear you say the testing of my faith, the testing of my beliefs develops perseverance. In other words, you might not believe it right off the bat, but through this testing, here's what happens with testing. I have to make a choice. See, God knows the way to get you to have greater faith is not just as he's speaking to you, but he's engaging your will to say yes or no. Let me say it again. God is engaging your will and forcing you to make a choice. Right? Yes, no. I'll trust you, I don't. I have faith, I doubt. There's no middle ground. There is no middle ground whatsoever. And we'll look through in a story in a second where it's okay where you say, gosh, help me in my unbelief. I know there's something inconsistent inside of me, Father, that's inconsistent with heaven. I'm struggling with it, but I'm in this confession. I'm believing you before I believe you. Does that make sense? Like I'm making a choice, an activation of my will that says I am a powerful person that can say yes or no. I can choose life or I can choose death. This is very biblical. Remember what Joshua told the people of Israel. Choose whom today, whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my family, we're choosing the Lord. We're serving the Lord. He didn't let them stay indifferent is my point. You cannot stay indifferent. You cannot stay indifferent. You can pretend and do the religious act for only too long, but you cannot stay indifferent. The Lord wants you to choose to give up things that are inconsistent with his kingdom come and his will being done inside of you before it's done in the earth. Because he chose to live inside of you. He wants his home to reflect his home before he transforms the earth to look like heaven. So that means your purity of your character, purity of your nature, the purity of your belief system must be willing to come into alignment with the belief system of heaven. Let's look what it says. This is good stuff. You don't realize it right now, but this is a good message. The Lord is speaking. No, that's okay. I brought my own encouragement. Okay. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Look what it has said. Perseverance must complete its work so that you can become mature. So if you continually go through trials and say, I rebuke you because you're thinking the trial came from Satan, instead of saying, Lord, what are you wanting to do inside of me? And you don't persevere, you don't allow your belief system to come into consistency with the belief systems of heaven, you stay at the belief systems of the earth. Perseverance cannot complete its work, which means this, you're always going to be immature. Maturity does not mean how much of this thing do you have memorized. If that was the case, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Jesus' day would have been the most mature believers the world has ever seen. But they were not. They weren't. So it's not a matter of memorization of this alone. It's a matter of, does it transform the way that you think, your belief systems? And if you're not willing to go through, and I'm going to use the word suffering, and I'm not talking about the hurricane. There's some people suffering right now, and that's not by the hand of the Lord. The enemy will send suffering. The enemy steals, kills, and destroys. That's his mission statement. It's to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you go through an attack of the enemy, and you go, why God, why God, why God, all the time and saying, but God, you're good. What are you wanting to do? Romans 8:28, he works all things out for good for those who are called according to his purpose. It says the purposes of the Lord will prevail, not the purposes of man, not the purposes of the devil. But you have to be willing to go through a situation where you feel your suffering. And let me tell you, we're not talking about starvation or any of those forms of torture, not that suffering. That's not what I'm talking about. But sometimes it feels like we suffer because we have a belief system we don't want to give up, and I suffer over it, I agonize over it, because I love the thing of this world more than I love him, and I want to hold on to it so deeply and so desperately that I refuse to let it go, and I suffer. And I don't consider it pure joy when God's trying to take the thing out of my hand that's trying to kill me. Instead, I rebuke him. And my belief system shows up in a way that's not joy, it's not worship, it's not the fruit of the Spirit, but now it's anxiety and depression and fear. Do you know how I know this is true? I've lived this. I'm not preaching you from the Bible and saying, I've got this theological degree and let me expel Scripture so you understand. I'm talking about from my own personal life. It's challenged on a daily basis sometimes that do you believe what you really believe? Is he really good? Are you willing to allow perseverance to finish its work inside of you so that you can become mature? And we cry out, Lord, make me mature. Let me grow in the greater wisdom and greater knowledge. And he's going, I'm trying to answer your prayer, but you're refusing to let go and let me come in and transform you. And until the church begins to let go of its old belief system and begins to really grasp and embrace who he is and what he's trying to do, the goodness of God, he's always good. He's always good. That he didn't want to bring judgment in the world. That's why he sent his son. He didn't come here to condemn the world, but to reconcile the world. He disciplines those he loves. Why? Because this verse right here tells me, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Has anybody ever prayed a prayer saying, Lord, I feel like I'm operating in lack right now? Raise your hand. You guys are awesome. I've been in those things where I'm like, God, what about this and what about this? And what this says is the Lord says, I want to answer your prayer. Consider it pure joy because I'm going to work something inside of you according to my plan of heaven that you can't comprehend, you can't understand. And when it's done inside of you, you'll be mature, you'll be complete, and you'll lack nothing. And so now I go, it can be like the Apostle Paul who's sitting in a prison, writing the epistles, talking about freedom. Because freedom's not the absence of bars, it's the presence of him. And go, doesn't matter if I've got much or I got little, I know I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm not responsible for the world. I'm responsible for my heart, my life, to respond to him. And then I'm responsible to become, which we'll talk in about a couple weeks, become love, become him as an expression into the world. But I must first change my belief system because I can never become something until I believe something. And not just believe in something. Like the idea, there's lots of people. Let me hit this real quick. The idea of America, of the Constitution, of free speech, and the freedoms there that were laid out by our forefathers is under attack because I think people believe in the ideals, they don't believe like the ideals. And it's being challenged. It's a mindset that's being challenged. And so in one moment they say freedom of speech, and the other moment saying I'm going to shut you up because you're saying something that I don't like, so I'm going to stop you. And so I believe in free speech for me, but I don't believe it's free speech for you. Why? Because there's a belief system that's at war. That's not a political statement. What I'm saying is that there's an inconsistency in the heart of what's trying to tear our country apart. And instead of the church getting engaged, especially on social media, stop it, engaged in these debates and stuff like that and worrying about this statue and worry about that, let's get to the hearts of people and become the love of Jesus in such a way that they're transformed, and it won't matter what statue's put up because we know. Do you realize this? Let me say this real quick. Paul walks into Greece and he says, you see this statue that you have to an unknown God? That's not really God, but let me pretend it is for your sake. This is the God that I serve. And he begins to preach the gospel of Jesus, and he uses a statue that had nothing to do with Yahweh. But he co-opted it in such a way, he says, but I'm going to speak to the heart of people who will understand something. Let me dive in where you're at. And then transformation took place. People became born again because of it. See, you can't think according to this level of thinking anymore. You have to change your belief systems and think from heaven. You are designed to be world changers. You're designed to walk into these disaster areas and bring the peace of heaven with you. Not be so overwhelmed by, my God, this is missing and this is down and this and this and this. Look, I understand. When I first drove in, I was so overwhelmed, it messed me up for a couple days. It really did. I had to like, Lord, this is inconsistent. I had to pray it through. Like, Lord, golly, there's some, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And he goes, just hear my voice. Just do what my son did. Hear my voice. Look what I want you to do now, and I'll take care of the rest. So what do I do? The person that's right before me, how am I going to love on them? How am I going to clean? What are we going to do one person at a time? And it's going to bring transformation. That's true for all of you guys. You okay? Let me skip through this. Flip over to James chapter 2. In the same way, faith by itself, verse 17, chapter 2. In the same way, faith or beliefs by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have no... Let me stop here real quick. Was it Nitschke that said God is dead? You know whose fault that was? Christians. Faith without works is dead. Who walks in faith? Who represents the faith and the belief system of heaven? We do. Nitschke didn't have somebody in his life necessarily that represented the purity of heaven where he would have realized, no, God's not dead. Faith is dead. The belief systems of who God's in, God is always who he says he is. He's not dependent upon people to tell him who he is. Random thought hit me. If it works, keep it. If it doesn't, throw it out. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a friend is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead. Listen to this analogy. The body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. What does that tell you? Faith and belief must come from the Holy Spirit that leads you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is a necessary component. He's the one that's working on your heart. He's the one that convicts the world of its sin and convicts the body of righteousness. In a judgment. I mean, we understand what's coming in because we need the Holy Spirit, but you got to bring your belief system consistent with him. Now let me say this. I have made a mistake in the past, let me say it this way, of overreacting, not wanting people to feel religion and to do things out of striving. Like, you know, like, you've got to do this. You belong to the church. You should do this, this, and this, and this. And it all comes from this position of religion and legalism and... Okay, can we all agree that's yuck? Here's a problem. We can swing that pendulum so far on the other side that we don't actually ever do anything. And we feel good when we come in, but there's no expectation that what we believe is going to show up in action. Not this church. I'm not responsible for others. I'm responsible for me in this house. As for me in my house, our faith and our belief system, what we say we believe, is going to show up in actions. Do not hear that and hear condemnation, guilt, shame, or legalism. But I will say this. Let's just go for it. We have needs in the children's ministry. We need teachers. Faith without works is dead. We belong to a family. Let's take care of our family. We believe that being in life groups is important. Get in a life group. We believe in giving into and sowing in, not just through tithes and offerings and all this different stuff. We believe in sowing into what God's doing. Participate with it, but don't be indifferent to it. We believe going down to Ingleside this week is going to bring a radical change and shift into that one woman's house, but I believe in her whole block is going to be touched by the fact that we showed up on the scene. Don't be indifferent to it. Buy water, buy an HEB gift card to somebody who's in Houston, but be the body. Take your faith, and if this is challenging you, then consider it pure joy. Because the Lord is challenging your belief system to become consistent with Him. We want revival and awakening to take place. I don't believe I have to kick the door down for that to happen, because that's out of my effort. But I do believe I do my part by saying, Lord, I'm abandoning myself to You completely and fully. That means I will do what You say to do. I will do what You're doing. I mean, we're going to get engaged and involved. And that's going to show up on multiple areas in multiple ways. But it's important for you. Because here's why it's important. Who's married in here? Raise your hand. This message ought to hit home. What you believe is going to impact your marriage. Who has kids? Raise your hand. What you believe is going to impact your kids. The way you raise them. What belief system are you raising them into? Are you raising them into believe in Jesus? Or are you raising them to believe like Jesus? Right? We have to look at this thing. Who in here actually ever leaves your own home other than Sunday? Raise your hand. You ever go outside other than Sunday? Okay. You believe, man, you guys are a bunch of recluses. What you believe is going to impact how you live. This is important. This is eminently important. If we want to see revival and awakening happen, you must become revival. You must become awakening. An awakened one. And the only way that's going to happen is change your beliefs. Change your beliefs. Because I'm looking at the time. I feel like I want to read a word. There's been multiple prophetic words. And then we're going to receive the first fruits offering. Just trying to figure out which one I want to do. Let me just read this real quick. It's a prophetic word for Texas. It says, Texas, I'm coming in. I'm coming in a way I've never come in before. It says, as I've been sitting with the Lord praying for Texas in a devastating situation with Hurricane Harvey, I heard these words. The tide is turning in Texas. I believe this is a decree of the Lord over the major breakthrough that has been happening and will continue to increase over Texas as the outpouring of His Spirit continues. As I continue to sit with the Lord, I heard these words. Texas, I'm coming. I'm coming in a way I've never come before. I'm coming in a way you've never seen me before. I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. I am coming to make a way where there is no way. The tide is turning in Texas. The way it has been will no longer be that way. There is a new day upon you, Texas. There's a new day upon you, Texas. I am with you. I am holding you. I'm releasing the manifestation of the new day of my destiny written in the scrolls of heaven over you, Texas. As a storm has come to devastate, I'm coming to activate. To activate a greater tipping point of breakthrough upon you, Texas. A whole new level of signs, wonders, and miracles as I show up. I'm fighting for you, Texas. I'm standing with you, my people, as you decree. What the enemy has sinned against you, I will turn. Where the enemy has come to devastate, I'm going to add to you. There's a battle in the heavenlies happening over Texas right now, but I have released my angels of recompense. Prepare for visitation. Prepare for visitation. I am coming, and I'm coming, and I'm coming as your King of glory. You will see my glory like you've never seen my people. Lift up your eyes, command the storm to pass, command the storm to turn, for the enemy's attempts will be turned on their head, and you will see me come. You will see me come, your King of glory. Your greatest days of visitation are upon you, my children. Your greatest days of outpouring are upon you and have begun, and it's about to increase in a way you have never seen. I'm going to show up unexpectedly in your midst, and you will be left in awe. The enemy has come to bring terror and fear, but I'm coming to restore awe. I'm coming to reveal my goodness, my nature in a way you have never seen before. The train of my robe will fill Texas. My glory is coming in unprecedented ways. It's a new day, no longer moving with the old. The guards are shifting. The positions are changing. The making room for the new thing that I am doing is happening. I'm coming fiercely and furiously with my fire, and you will see my holiness like you've never seen before, my people. Unprecedented encounters with me. My glory and holiness will be seen amongst you people who've been crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." The ground the enemy has occupied in Texas is being uprooted. I then saw a tidal wave of his spirit, and I'm not referring to the hurricane or the flood in the spirit, but only in the spirit, come in flowing with such peace and strength through Texas, and a deep uprooting was taking place. The Lord was going into the hidden places in Texas, and he was uprooting the roots and legal grounds that the enemy has had in Texas. And then I heard these words, "The ground the enemy has occupied in Texas is being uprooted. I've come in response to the cries of intercession of my people, and I'm uprooting strongholds, and a whole new move of my spirit is about to be released in Texas. The areas where the enemy has rejoiced over land taken, now his days of greatest mourning are upon him, as he's reminded of his defeat, as he's reminded of his position under the feet of my people. And now my people will rejoice, and a whole new level of praise will rise up for my people in Texas, as the strongholds of old come tumbling down and make a way in the wilderness. Streams in the desert, a whole new area of breakthrough in areas that have been held by the enemy, is suddenly turned and handed to my people to begin to extend my kingdom in greater ways. I saw the enemy and other demonic figures dancing around, and it looked like an idol, and it reminded me of Baal. As they danced around and rejoiced at this idol they had built within Texas. But then I saw lightning fall from heaven and suddenly strike the idol, and it not only tumbled down to the ground, but it was completely destroyed into dust. And then suddenly where it was, a huge fountain appeared in its place. I then heard the Lord say, the idol of religion is coming down. I'm striking down religion. I'm striking down the spirit of religion where it's had its greatest hold. I'm raising up fountains of life. And my living water, where many will come to drink of salvation and revelation from all over the world. The very areas where the spirit of religion has had the strongest hold, I'm breaking it. I'm removing it. And those places shall be known as wells of my spirit, and revelation to be key in the outpouring I'm releasing. Come ready, Texas. Get ready, Texas. I'm coming in a way that's unexpected. I'm coming in a way that's completely new. And the train of my robe is going to cover Texas as I step in as the King of glory. And my holiness restored in Texas like never before. That's from a prophetic voice out of Australia, Lana Vosser. There's many other words that have been released, but here's what I want to say. Do you believe that that's true?
Yes.
The way you live your life is going to change. Goes for us all. What we believe is going to show up in how we live. It means we can't walk around fearful anymore. It means we can't get caught up into the divide of race and this and that. We need to come in the middle of it and reconcile it. Transformation is going to take place. So before I pray for us, here's what we're going to do. We've set the first Sunday of the month as a first fruit offering. And where we receive through the rest of the month, you can give online or you can put it in the boxes on your way in. But this morning, I want to challenge you to give. I was talking to the person from Samaritan's Purse. Well, one of the things they said was how important it is for them to come into these communities that have been devastated. And while, yes, they're going to the homes that are being that need renovation, they're also coming to the churches that have been devastated as well. And they're working with the churches to establish a beacon of hope in that community because they know after they leave, where's the hope going to be residing in the body of the people there? And so they're looking and saying, look, we want to build. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, as we continue to keep our eyes on, there's a great cost that will take to be able to rebuild these cities. But it does not threaten the Lord's ability to give. I mean, I believe the Lord is going to pour out his Spirit in a way that we've never seen through generosity all across the world. It's already happening. What we have to do is we have to be multi-focused on our vision. Our city needs transformation. We're going to go on to the coast because I've got family that live there, and we're going to go become the love of Jesus there. But we cannot take our eyes off the ball of what God is doing here in New Braunfels and doing in this region. And so we believe in the coming days, we're going to show you guys some stuff too, that above and beyond regular giving, we're looking at like a gathering area that would be a lobby area. We're looking at coming over and paving over the parking lot to make it actually, because right now with the rain and stuff like that, it kind of roads it down. We need to do some maintenance stuff. And then eventually we're going to have a lobby with multiple classrooms for kids and stuff like that we're going to be bringing before the church and saying, here, time to participate in what God's doing in this place, because we believe in the mission of what God's called us to be here. And we're not erecting buildings for the sake of like how many people can we draw in, but how many people can we transform so we can send out people that go along too. And so as you take this time of giving, I just want you to give like Jesus believes. What's he put on your heart? What's he calling you to give? And whether you believe in the tithe or you don't, that doesn't really matter. I believe that God calls every Christian to have a heart of generosity in giving, sowing into the local house and then sowing into what the work that's going on, whether it's through Samaritan's Purse or Salvation Army or any of the others that are doing amazing work. We shouldn't temper our giving because we're like, well, where am I going to send it? Give as the Lord tells you to give and trust it. So if you need an offering envelope, would you just please raise your hand right now? The ushers are going to walk forward and we're going to pray over it. You can make your checks to Legacy Church. You can go online and give. As you're filling those out, I want to read you something. I picked up a book a while back, and the Lord prompted me to read it. It's about the kingdom. And there was a saint lived, it didn't even give me the date of when he lived, but hundreds of years ago, Saint Anthony. It says, Saint Anthony, when he went into the desert, had some horrendous nights in which Satan approached him in all kinds of visible and auditory forms. He held on and resisted, would not give in. Finally, Jesus came to him, and he says, I'll leave you to figure out what this means, but I'm inclined to believe it's pretty literal about it. The first question St. Anthony asked Jesus was, why didn't you come sooner? And Jesus replied, I wanted to see how you would do. Now, actually, that's a biblical theme. God did it with Abraham. He did it with the Israelites in the wilderness. Jesus did this with his disciples. You can be sure he will do it with you and me. It's an indispensable aspect of our growth into this thing of grace. I think the Lord, as we give this is what I felt like. The Lord is challenging things inside of your heart. Belief system about his ability to provide for you, to take care of you, and not just financially, but in terms of your heart, your security of your heart. And whether it's there's a gas shortage and it causes anxiety and fear to rise up inside of you or any other thing, the Lord wants you to know he is seeing what's going to rise up inside of you so he can bring his solution to it. He's a good father. He wants to bring it into alignment. So let's go ahead and pray right now. If you just raise up your offering to him. Father, we just declare right now in your name that you are good. And our belief is that you are always good, that the devil can never undermine your goodness. The only thing we can do is we can undersell your goodness. I pray right now that as people are raising up, Lord God, this thing that they've been walking inside of, a belief system that was inconsistent with heaven, that you would not only bring transformation, Lord, but you would bring an acceleration into the new life, Lord God. That the second we sacrifice it is the second that acceleration can take place because you're now giving the new thing. And we believe that word from Lana, that Lord God, that you are coming in a way like we've never seen before, that it's so consistent with all the words we've been hearing for several years about what you wanted to do in this corridor and specifically in Texas, Lord God. And we say, come swiftly. Have your way. Anything that's inside of us, Lord God, that is inconsistent with your kingdom, remove it so that you can build, Lord God. You can build your kingdom. You can build your belief system. Lord, I pray right now, I release bold faith. Bold faith. Bold faith. To never go back to the old way, but instead to step into newer heights and newer expressions of love and life. And we just declare this right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said. We have these baskets that are up here, so if you would just go ahead and bring them up when you're ready. Service is over. If you need prayer for anything whatsoever, all our Alto ministry team will be up here. We encourage you to let somebody pray with you. Also, if you want to sign up for the women's group, you can come over here to the table and do that. Don't forget, too, if you want to go on the Love Harvey, Love Texas. We'll love Harvey. Let's give Harvey some love. All right, Love Harvey down into Ingleside. Let us know, email us that, and we'll be back in contact with you. Otherwise, you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week.